Blog Talk Radio.
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing is going right.
So, have you ever felt that nothing is going right? Well, cheer up. From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally, famous worldwide blog talk radio. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help guide you through this very difficult journey that you're on called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Ouch. We have an exciting show planned for you today. Craig Johnson, Director of Ministries at Lakewood Church of Houston, Texas. And for those of you that don't know, that's Joel Osteen's church, which can fill a football-sized stadium with 40,000 attendees each and every week. Wow. Craig is also a parent to his autistic son, Connor. You don't want to miss this exciting interview as we speak about autism today and how the Champions Club Special Needs Program was inspired and launched by Craig himself. And that includes a global vision to start these champion clubs all over the world. So stay tuned. I am your host today, Dave Nassani, and this show is about caregiving of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial, and very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember every time you board a plane, you tune them out when they start to tell you that if there's an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. And the reason they do this is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above theirs. And then you won't be of any help to anybody if that happens. And you know, caregivers are the same way. We also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process. Sounds nasty. Unfortunately, folks, the only way out of the grief process is to go through the grief process. And hopefully we can help you if you feel like you're stuck and you need some help. So if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me, my radio podcast, my books, my videos, by going to my website, davenass.com. That's Dave and then the first four letters of my last name, N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam, Nass. That's davenass.com. Got it? And if you just tell me your name and your email, guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to send you two really neat gifts. First, a copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, in ebook format. And if that wasn't enough, I'm going to send you a free report entitled 10 Mistakes That All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't. Now, don't miss out on these cool freebies worth over $20, folks. All right, enough of that. Welcome to the show, Craig. Sorry you had to, hold on, let me unmute you. Sorry you had to sit through all that introduction stuff for all our first-time listeners. Welcome.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate so much you coming on the show. I know you've had a rough week. We were talking before the show, but why don't you take a few moments and basically our audience is mostly caregivers from all walks of life, and they're probably experiencing burnout because it's at epidemic proportions, as well as some of those who find themselves in the midst of the grief process after suffering a loss. So you're a caregiver too, so I know you can relate, right?
Right.
give us a brief introduction, Craig, of who you are, and then if you would, please share with our listeners some of your early experiences as a caregiver to your son, Connor, just after you first discovered that there was a problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm married 25 years in January to my beautiful wife, Samantha, and we have three children Corey, who was 22 years old, and Courtney, who was 20 years old, and then we had our surprise Connor, who was 10 years old. And so, as I said, we had a 12-year-old and 10-year-old, and we thought at that time we were done having children. And then, God surprised us with our son being born. And, you know, Connor was just like any of our other two kids. He was interactive with us, would speak to us, would give us a hug, show emotion, play with friends. And but about a year and a half into this, and I even remember seeing, you know, us having videos, and I can look back at the videos and watching our son as normal as, or typical as any other child. And then about a year, between a year and a half and 2 years of age, it all shifted. And it was really, I would kind of explain it like a car wreck, you know, where 1 minute he's giving us a hug, he's saying I love you, he's playing with other friends, he's showing emotion. The next minute he shows no emotion. He sits by himself and stares off in the corner. He stops speaking altogether. And it was a huge shift in our life. And at the time, it was, you know, it was a challenge to really understand it all and what all that meant.
Wow. I'm sure you've done a lot of research on autism since this has happened. Is that typical where, you know, the child will be normal for a period of time and then all of a sudden, boom? Or is it more typical that there's symptoms early on from childbirth?
Yeah, well, the area that's rising is where there's a delay. And there's many different reasons, or people will give me different reasons behind that. But I would say 99% of parents that I've talked to will say it's because of vaccinations. And
really?
that at one time where they were, their son or daughter was just fine, after they had their vaccinations, it shifted for them. And so that's a common theme. We believe that happened with our son. He had an ear infection. I don't believe it happens every child that gets vaccinations this happens to. And the medical community would definitely debate that. But what I believe is that when kids' immune systems are down and they have all those shots and different things flushed in them, and they want them done, you know, all at one time, you know, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happened, it was right after that our son shifted. So
wow.
You know, we really carried that a little bit too, because, you know, you sort of feel the condemnation or the blame.
Guilt.
You know, what if we wouldn't have had him get the shots, you know, and so you have to work through all those things as well.
Wow. Yeah, guilt is part of the grief process, and we'll be talking about that. But that's amazing, you know, how the medical community thinks they're so brilliant. They come up with all of these drugs and these vaccines and this and that, and every single drug and vaccine has a side effect. And we have no clue as to, you know, what's going on, why cancer's on the rise, why autism's on the rise. Very interesting. Let me ask you, Craig, I understand after a period of time, you were showing classic signs of caregiver burnout yourself. I can imagine. Please share some of those low moments in your life and how you managed to get through all of that.
Yeah, you know, probably when he stopped speaking altogether and he couldn't express how he felt, outside of all the other challenges we were dealing with, and challenges by what I mean by that is, you know, figuring out what it was going to cost for to see him developed and schooling, you know, the medical issues, everything from gluten-free diets, and everybody's got a remedy,
wow.
You know, for different things. So, you know, they'll tell you all different types of things, and parents chase after a lot of things because they're so desperate to see their child develop, and you know, you have a hope of them being cured, you know. So So we were facing some challenges. It got really bad probably when he was about 5 years old. By that time, he had stopped talking for about 3 years, and he was almost 5 years old. And what he would do when he couldn't express how he felt, he would take his fingernails and he would scratch his arms. He would bang his head up against things or the wall. He would clench his fist and press it up against his chin, and really begin to act out. And you know, you're dealing with so many other issues besides that, but that was a really low point, you know, because he was having these fits, and it was overwhelming. And I remember driving to Lakewood one day and just asking God why, you know, and I'm sure every caregiver has asked that question, you know, not sure. Not why I had my son, because I love my son, but why is he struggling so much? Why is he going sure. through this? And I'll never forget what God told me, you know, and it was almost an audible voice. It wasn't audible, but it was almost an audible voice. And he just said, your child is not a burden. Your child is a gift. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, I know what you mean. You know, I love my child, you know. I know he's a gift. And he goes, no, you're not hearing me. He says, your child is not a burden. Your child is a gift. I said, what are you saying? He said, you're looking at everything that's wrong with him. You're not looking at everything that's right. And he said, I'm going to use your son to reach millions of people.
Wow.
And, you know, for me at that time, as down as we were, that was hard to believe, to tell you the truth. And I'm a man of faith, you know. But it was so hard to believe. And I just, you know, I was real honest with God in my conversation there, you know. I really wasn't a pastor there. I was just a guy just like anybody else, you know, father and husband, just like anybody else that's going through a difficult time. And I just said, God, you know, my son can't even ask for a drink of water. How's he going to reach millions of people? And I believe God will speak to you during these times. And he said four words to me, and these are the four words I believe God will speak to you when you're going through a desert or a dry place or an overwhelming time in your life. He just said four words. He said, do you trust me? And, you know, I didn't give him the pastoral answer, you know. I just was completely honest. I just said, God, you're all we've got. You know, there is no cure for autism. I said, you're all we've got. We trust you. And,
You know, for those of you who don't know me, my wife suffered a stroke 19 years ago. She had lost her speech, and she's paralyzed on her right side. She's gone through 19 years without being able to speak in sentences. She knows about a handful of words, thus the book I wrote, One Arm, One Leg. She only has use of that in 100 words. She knows about 100 words, but really she can only use about a dozen of them at any one time. You know, if we got the 100 number by just trying to figure out every word we ever heard her speak, but not all those words are able to be spoken easily. But, you know, you think you have it bad until you hear someone else's story, and people tell me all the time, wow, that's how can you do that? You know, how do you? And, you know, God gives me grace because it's not that hard. Yes, it's hard, but, you know, I'm still here after 19 years with a smile on my face. She still has a smile on her face. She had a two-year grieving period. But, you know, I believe God makes tailor-made trials for everybody. You know, when he hands the trials out in the world, you know, my trial is no worse than yours. It may seem like it and vice versa. But I don't think I could go through having an autistic son and watching him do, you know, scratch his arms and whatever else he does when he's frustrated. You know, it's bad enough I've got to watch my wife when she's frustrated what she does. But, you know, you probably can't do what I'm doing, Craig, but I know I can't do what you're doing. But that's okay. God knows what he's doing. Well, let me ask you another question. I hear that Connor's doing great today. Please share with us what happened that turned everything around, and how's he doing?
Yeah, well, you know, when God spoke to me and said, do you trust me, you know, and I told him I did, you know, I thought it was going to get better, you know, after I spoke to God, you know, but now he's wanting to find out if I trust him, and it actually got worse. And but about probably about 3 months later, my wife came in, started calling me from upstairs, and she said, Craig, get up here. And I knew she was putting my son to bed. And so I ran upstairs, and I said, what is it? And she was crying, and she said, Craig, I was putting Connor to bed, and I was reading him a couple books and praying over him. I went to turn off the light, and she said, all of a sudden, he began to speak. He began to say one word after another word, one sentence after another sentence. And, you know, tears rolled down my cheeks because I was going, I haven't really heard him say more than one word for 3 years, you know. How could this be? And I said, what do you mean he began to speak? And she said, he began to speak. And so she walked me over to the end of his bed, and she said, Connor, say it for Mommy and Daddy, say it. And my son, for the first time in 3 years, lifted up his head, and he said, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And that was my first words and sentences.
I've heard that before. Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, that is the declaration that for years here at Lakewood, our Pastor Joel does, even before any broadcast. He'll start out with, this is my Bible. And what happened was we would bring home Pastor Joel's messages, and where my son would only watch a cartoon for maybe 3 minutes, he was putting those DVDs in his little DVD player, and he was watching Joel's entire message over and over again. Well, every time he would play that message, even though the message might be different, the declaration was the same. And he memorized that whole thing, and those were the first words that God gave him to speak. And so it was amazing. So I probably about 3 weeks later, I was speaking on Wednesday night at Lakewood Church, and I showed Connor on a video, and Pastor Joel and Victoria and all of our church were, you know, they followed Connor, and they were so supportive of us. But they saw him on a video saying those words. They knew he didn't speak, but saying those words for the first time. Pastor Joel was crying on the front row, you know, just weeping. He came up to me afterwards, and he said, Craig, can I share about Connor's miracle? Can I preach about it? And I said, sure. And so not too long after, he spoke about Connor's miracle, showed the video, and people, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but 10 million people watch Pastor Joel through the multiple broadcasts every week, actually watch him. And so we started getting emails from around the world, from special needs schools in Cambodia, and they sent my son T-shirts that said Conquer and Overcomer, and just from all over the world. It was just amazing to see what took place. But real quick, I'd forgotten a little bit of what God told me in the car because it was kind of a whirlwind. But I remember being at a Night of Hope in Chicago White Sox Stadium, 50,000 people there for America's Night of Hope. And we walked down the field with our son, and they showed his story on the video screen.
Whoa.
And I'd really forgotten what God had spoken to me about millions, although it already happened. But as they showed his story, I watched people crying in the crowd and clapping, 50,000 people. And all of a sudden, I heard God speak to me like he did in that car. And he said, remember when I told you in the car I'd use your son to reach millions of people? He said, look at this. He said, I'm always true to my word.
Wow. I'm shook up right now. We need to take a break. Craig, hang on. We'll be back, okay?
All right.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's N-A-S-S. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we are back. Wow, Craig, that was moving. I mean, that's a real miracle, isn't it? I mean, does anyone with autism, like, who hasn't spoken in 3 years, just start talking like that? I'm sure you've done some research.
Yeah, it's rare, but you don't know exactly how they're going to speak, but it was totally a miracle of God. I mean, there's no question about it, how it happened and how much he spoke.
Wow. Well, listen, let me get to my next question. I'm thinking that Connor's autism here is what inspired you to begin the special needs ministry at Lakewood Church. I mean, am I right? Tell us about that and what happened next.
Yeah, as we were going through all of, the challenges that we were facing with our son, but God was giving us strength, and through that, I started noticing in our church, which is, it's a large church, I started noticing not seeing as many parents with special needs kids. We were like a lot of churches. We had, one room with some caring individuals, and thank God for that, thank God. And we had probably about 10 kids that ranged from kids to adults in there. But as I was walking through Lakewood, God spoke to me one day and said, look at your kids program and your kids facility for all the typical kids. He said, it looks like Disneyland. He said, and then look what you have for the special needs kids. And, to be honest, it wasn't anywhere close to what we had for typical kids. And God just spoke to me and said, those kids deserve the very best, just like every other child. And so I said, from that point on, I wasn't sure how to do it. I wasn't sure how to respond to it, but I said, God, if you'll show me how to build something that doesn't just take care of them, but actually develops them from birth right on through the grave, Father, we'll do whatever you ask us to do. So God just kind of led us from there. I mean, we found out who the top researchers were in Houston for all different types of special needs and autism. And we found two of the top ones at the University of Texas Medical Center. Then we found top curriculum specialists from the University of Houston and with special needs, and they had started different special needs programs. And then we found good old moms and dads of special needs kids and teens and adults who had went through it and had been caregivers, and they knew, they were as sharp as anybody else in the room. I mean, they were amazing.
Those are the real experts.
That's right, that's right. And so for an entire year, we just started developing what would a developmental program for special needs look like. And what we came up with was a holistic approach with where we'd try to develop the mind, body, soul, and spirit. And what that came to was the Champions Club. And the Champions Club basically develops the kids while the parents or caregivers are able to go to church for the first time. And many of them were shut in. I mean, many of them didn't go to church. They were watching either the television program or watching through the live feed. And but this is a developmental program that really develops them from the moment they get in there and teaches them who they are in Christ and how they can respond to who Christ is to them.
Wow, that's amazing. So that wasn't cheap, I take it.
Well, in the beginning, you know, Pastor Joel was so amazing, you know, because I went to him, I said, this is what we want to do, and but God really led us, because we took regular classrooms. Any church that has a regular classroom, we took the regular classrooms, and then we just added equipment in those classrooms. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing with the Champions Club is that now that we're about to launch a brand new curriculum, it's the first extensive Christian curriculum, I think, that is anywhere. There's not another one out there. And so we've just developed this with Dr. Sandy Robinson, who's there in California. And so a church if they don't have hardly any money, they don't have to have all the equipment. They can have handheld things and different equipment that we work, whether with mobile Champions Clubs or with those that just can't afford it. But they can use the curriculum, and they can really develop the kids. If they want to add on more equipment, they can do that as well. There's four rooms or four stations with the Champions Club. There's a sensory station, and that deals with the five senses, and it has all different types of equipment that deals with that. There's an educational station, so that has tactile boards and all different types of things to help use their brains. And if they can't speak, it has iPads in there with software where they can ask any question, direct them to anything in the Champions Club. And it also has educational games. And there's a spirit room. That's where we do the curriculum and praise and worship. And there's what's called a motor room or motor station. And that's where it's kind of a physical therapy type of station. So the kids and teens, they rotate in between those four stations where they're really getting developed. And so when we launched at Lakewood, we weren't sure what kind of response. And over 300 families started coming within the first 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw a video of the classrooms, and, I mean, it's amazing. You've got those different rooms that you talked about, and they look pretty darn cool. One particular room, you said you had a child who was worse than Helen Keller. She's deaf, blind, mute. Tell me about her and what kind of things she likes to do in there.
Yeah. Her name was Abby Grace. She's an amazing young girl, but she's deaf, blind, mute, and cannot walk. And so when you talk about just challenges with her, but she comes in the sensory room, and so cool as they wheel her in, and the leaders, and the powerful thing about the Champions Club, it's not just the equipment that helps and, you know, the rooms and everything like that. Number one, it's the love and acceptance. Mm-hmm. That's the key to the Champions Club. We take care of the parents as much as we take care of the kids. And so when the parents come in there, our leaders are right, how was your week? How can we help you? Did your child have any problems? So they're taking care of them. So Abby's parents would bring her in what our volunteers would do, they'd pick Abby up and they'd put her in the in a beanbag in the sensory area, and then there was this one sensory equipment where it has strands, and the strands vibrate with light, and she would feel those strands going across her face and everything's like that, and all of a sudden she'd lean her head back, and she would just smile, and she it just changed her whole mood once she walked in there. And we've just seen different kids just being developed through that. So it's amazing, the combination.
Yeah, that's that's really good. It sounds like you are ministering to the caregivers as well, the parents, and sometimes they're in as bad a shape as the kids, because as you know, it's not easy being a caregiver, and especially if you're in the midst of burnout and you don't know what to do, you don't know who to call. A lot of these people isolate themselves, but it's so cool that they have the freedom to feel like they can talk to somebody or come into your sensory rooms and have people actually asking them, how was your week? You know, what's going on? Is there anything we can help you with? But those rooms are really, really cool, especially when you turn the lights off. It's like better than Disneyland. I'm wondering, do the normal kids get a little jealous that their rooms aren't so cool? I know their rooms are really cool, but these rooms are really, really cool.
Oh, no question. Well, you know, we did exactly what God asked us to. We gave them the very best. And it's just different, you know, with the typical kids. But the typical kids love to come in because we have a junior leadership program. And in our junior leadership program, as part of developing as a junior leader, you know, third through fifth graders, one of the aspects that they do is they go in and work and interact with the kids with special needs. And so it's a really, really powerful moment. We've had kids come out of working with them, and they would say things that this was one of the greatest days of my life. I actually saw one of the kids speak, or I actually saw one of the kids do something that they normally wouldn't do. And it's really a miracle that's happening, not only for the child that's getting the development, for the person that works with them.
So this isn't just glorified babysitting. You're actually seeing progress and breakthroughs through this therapy, huh?
Oh, no question. Our curriculum, which is one of the first behavioral type of curriculums, because you have to teach kids with special needs if they've got autism or Down syndrome or different things like that, and everybody's at different levels, obviously, but you have to teach them behavior, many times, emotions, different things like that. So what makes this curriculum unique is that it teaches them how to respond. When I'm feeling sad, I pray, and that makes me happy. And so it's really teaching them how to respond, and how to respond to God, and how God responds to them. So it's a very unique curriculum that we've developed that really develops the kids and helps them know how much Jesus loves them.
And so it sounds like each kid, each child, is getting a unique, personalized, what's the word I'm looking for? That each one is different, obviously. So you're keeping track of their progress, and maybe this one has needs in this area, and this one has needs in that area. And it isn't just like one cookie cutter fits all.
That's right. As a matter of fact, each of them, when the parents come in, each of them fill out. Really, it's kind of a pamphlet on that child, and so. So we try to find out the needs, the different things. We don't claim to be experts, although many of the people that do work with, about half of our people that work in there, and they're all volunteer, they work in the field. And it's just because God brought them in. We did that anything special to get them to come. But each child has kind of their own portfolio, and then we know about them. And another interesting thing that we found out in the Champions Club has the most retention of volunteers out of any other ministry at Lakewood Church. Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
You know, in church, I don't have to tell you this, but there's typically what we call the 20-80 rule. You know what that is. 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, and vice versa. And children's ministry is probably the worst to recruit volunteers. I know we're always asking in our church, and we've got a pretty good response, you know, much better than most churches. You know, maybe we're at the 30, 70 or 35, 65, which is great, you know. But I'm wondering, that sounds really great. It sounds like you've got a program to get people starting as interns and just allowing them to fall in love with the ministry. So I'm just going to say, tell me your recruiting policy, or how do you recruit people?
Well, the biggest thing, you know, especially being director of ministries at Lakewood Church, you know, and overseeing all of our volunteers, we have about close to 5,000 volunteers at Lakewood. And one of the things that you always want to make sure of when you're recruiting volunteers is they're not looking for another job. What they're looking for is, can I make a difference? Mm-hmm. And is it measurable? You know, when I start, what's the result? If they feel like they're just doing another job, it's tough to get them in and it's tough to keep them. But if you can show them and provide ministries where they can truly make a difference, And they see results, whether it's somebody coming to know Christ, or whether it's something like this where they see a child develop, you know, in some way. It's very impactful for people. So we don't want to just have a children's ministry. We want to have an impactful children's ministry where you're making the difference, and we can show these volunteers how what they're doing is making a difference. And so when we do that with volunteers, that's one of the main things that our leaders do, is make sure that they're seeing the difference that is happening within a child's life, or within an adult's life, or a teen's life, and that we're celebrating that. And so it makes a big difference in recruiting.
Yeah, I was mentioning my church. I just realized I didn't say what church I go to. I go to Higher Vision Church. A little plug there. It's a wonderful, anointed, amazing church. And I, in my opinion, I think it's the kind of church that if you're fortunate enough to have once in a lifetime, this is the church. And I'm just so blessed to be there. Our pastor, Jared Ming, does an awesome job. He's anointed. He's a songwriter. He's an anointed singer. He's an anointed preacher. And Jack Hayford actually came to our church to officiate the grand opening and laid his mantle upon us, because so many people have commented that Pastor Jared reminds those that know Pastor Jack that he reminds him of Pastor Jack when he was younger. So we're real excited to have another church on the way type of church coming up right here in the Santa Clarita Valley. And we have a vision to reach the world. We have a global campus. So for those of you who were wondering what church I go to, and you came and spoke at our church, and that's how I met you. I understand Pastor Jared was at your church and checking out your situation over there. And so we launched our special needs ministry. So those of you who have special needs kids, come to Higher Vision Church. We're right at the corner of the 126 and the Interstate 5 in Santa Clarita there, Valencia. So with that, I will take a break after that shameless plug for our church, which I love. And we will be right back.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities, so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years, after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech-impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to play the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books and starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassar.
And we are back. And I'm speaking to Craig Johnson. And he is an amazing guy. And this is a great interview you're doing, Craig, from Lakewood Church, the director of special care ministries over there. And he's just telling us about his autistic son and the special needs ministry at Lakewood Church in Texas. So, Craig, I would like to know, what is the vision, or what was the vision back then, and what is the vision today for these challengers, champions clubs, excuse me? Where are you going with this? I mean, is it global? Is it going around the world? I mean, where are you now, and where do you hope to be with this?
Well, in the beginning, we were just trying to reach out to families in the Houston area and through our church. We had no idea that it would expand like it has. But when we saw the response from the community here, we knew that we had something, a prototype, and obviously, you know, now with the curriculum and stuff like that, where we could reach out. And we found out, you know, I think, and this is my own statistic, in my own travels, you know, it's definitely less than 10% of churches have anything for special needs within the churches. But I would even take it up higher. To me, it's less than 1% of churches, because if the average church is 100 people, not many of those churches have anything for special needs. So it's a huge challenge, and these families are struggling both in society. You know, you deal with a lot of rejection in society, then you deal with rejection in the church, you know, many times, and so it was a challenge. So we begin to just start in the beginning to help other churches, and we would help them from the very beginning how initial consultations, how they can get trained, how they can order equipment, launching the curriculum, and then launching the overall program like we're kind of doing with your church. And now there's 16 champions clubs across America. We're about to launch our first one in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and 4 more in different countries. In the next year, we launched our first champions club in a public school here in Houston, and we're about to launch our second one in our second public school here in Houston. We just got talked to by the YMCA, and they're interested in talking to us about launching champions clubs in the YMCA, and we're even looking at schools, so, you know, doing a champions academy school. So it's kind of exploded, and we look to have about 25 champions clubs by, I think, April of next year across America and across the world.
So let me get this straight. Your son's autism and the pain and the suffering that you went through has been the catalyst and the response that God's word, your son, Connor, was going to make a difference in the world. Wow. What's your response to that?
I found out this, and this is something that is probably significant. And on my worst day, I'm someone else's best hope.
Wow.
On my worst day, I'm someone else's best hope. And You know, sometimes when we're overwhelmed and we feel like we've got nothing to give, there's probably somebody going through something a lot more difficult. And although we feel those, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, letting off steam and feeling, you know, letting go of some things, but I really believe, you know, those are the times to not to complain, but to proclaim. And so when I looked at those situations in my life, I look at it like this, you know, an eagle, when an eagle's going through a storm and the wind and rain, and some of you caregivers are out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The wind and rain is hitting you, and you're in the middle of a storm right now, and you feel it. But what an eagle does, it doesn't stay in that storm. What it does is it spreads its wings as far as it can, and then it rises above that storm into the eye of the storm. It doesn't mean the storm went away. It just rose above it, and it flies in the eye of the storm where it's peaceful, where the rain and wind is not hitting it. And we can either be eagles or chickens. You know, chickens grovel. You know, they're on the ground and they can't fly. But an eagle rises above its storm. And what we've got to do when we're going through different things like that is, I found out if you're going to be an eagle that rises above the storm, how you do that is you help somebody else. When you're going Absolutely. Through a storm, you help somebody else. It takes your mind off of everything that you're having to go through, and it gives you a different perspective. And that was huge for us. When we start helping other people, it made our challenges, they didn't seem as big. And we start speaking to our mountains instead of our mountains speaking to us.
Wow, what a great analogy and what great advice. And folks, if you are at the end of your rope and you don't know whether you're going to make it, go and help somebody and things will turn around. That's great advice. Craig, what are the parents' reactions to your facility when they first see it? Well, you know, before I ask that, let me ask this first. What usually brings a parent of special needs child to Lakewood Church? I mean, how did you get those 300? How did they hear about it? How did you advertise? Or other churches that are implementing this? You know, how are the people hearing that they have special needs? What are they doing to find out? Is it? I'm sure word of mouth is a factor, but is that everything, or is there other things they can do?
Well, the truth of the matter is word of mouth was huge because nobody had anything like what Lakewood had. Facilities within the city didn't have what Lakewood was doing, and here a church was leading the way.
Ministries, but you know we're dropping the ball.
that's right, and so. So word of mouth was number one. That's what happened. But what we did, we started connecting with organizations throughout the city that reached out to special needs kids and families and let them know what we were providing. We let them know through, you know, the different publications that we had with the church and different things like that. But we really connected with the community. And so all those community leaders, what's great with community leaders is that when they see, they know the deficiency in help mm-hmm. that comes to special needs many times. And so when they see somebody sincerely reaching out, authentically reaching out and helping them, and they're doing it with excellence, well, all these other communities that had programs and different things like that, they started helping us. As a matter of fact, there was one program that came, and now we're a diagnosis center at Lakewood, where twice a year you can come and be diagnosed with what type of special need or autism and different things like that. And it's all done by a program, place called Shape of Behavior. They helped us with training, I mean, across the board when we started. So that's really how it began to spread out.
No, that's a great strategy. You began partnering with government agencies or other groups that minister to these people. And, of course, they recognize, wow, this is head and shoulders above anything that we've got. And so they'll be advertising for you, as a matter of fact, and the people who they've been involved with, certainly word of mouth. You know, I don't know if you heard about this, but in the news just yesterday, I was driving home and I heard in the news they arrested parents of an autistic child because they kept him in a cage. And that's the kind of stuff that sometimes goes on. And, you know, we hear about these school shootings and you know, some people say, well, gun control or it's a mental health breakdown, you know, but a lot of mental health issues as adults could have been prevented with special needs as just. So we're helping change the society here. We're helping change the world. And it's all because of Connor and your obedience. Praise God. So my next question, get me all excited here. What are the parents' reactions to your facility when they first see it? Okay, so they heard about it. Somebody told them, oh, you got to come. So when they come, do they exactly know what to expect? I'm sure it exceeds their expectations. I mean, what are some of the comments when they first open that room and they see that sensory room or whatever?
Well, they're overwhelmed. That's the first. Some of them start crying. Right there, because they just don't expect it, and they definitely don't expect it in a church. one of the best stories that happened recently was there was this gentleman named Sean, just big. I mean, he played football in college, and he owned a construction company, different things like that. He was actually Catholic. And his family was raised Catholic, and they went to the Catholic Church. And there's nothing wrong with the Catholic Church. Don't get me wrong, but it's like a lot of churches, you know. His particular church was like a lot of churches where they didn't have anything for special needs. So their son was severely autistic. The church didn't know how to respond to it, and unfortunately, they said they asked them to leave, that they couldn't help. Take care of the son, so they asked him to leave. And so somehow they heard about the Champions Club. So one night I get this, somebody saying, Pastor Craig, there's this big guy that wants to meet you. And I was a little afraid then. This big guy wants to meet me. And he says, big guy wants to meet you. And so I walk up to this 6'4", you know, 250-pound guy, and I'm thinking, what does he want to talk about? And all of a sudden, I see tears come down his cheeks. And he said, hi, my name's Sean. He says, I want to thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, for the Champions Club. And I said, oh, you're very welcome. He said, no, you don't understand. He says, you know, the church we grew up with, and when we were asked to leave, he said, I told them that if my son can't stay, then we can't stay. And this is a church we kind of grew up with. And so we left, and we stopped going to church for the last couple of years. But then somebody told us about the Champions Club and that you accept everyone. And he said, when we brought our son, he was loved, he was cared for, he wasn't turned away. You had an amazing developmental program for him. He says, I want to thank you because tonight, for the first time in 3 years, I'm going to do a drama in the main sanctuary. I'm actually volunteering and here being able to come to church for the very first time in the last 3 years. And he said, I want to thank you, and tears rolling down his cheeks. So that's what it's huge for the families.
You know, our church, Higher Vision Church, and our website, highervisionchurch.com, has a very similar story. As you know, Pastor James Renee, who's in charge of our special needs ministries, in charge of a lot more than that, but he also has a ministry with Johnny and friends, Johnny Erickson, Tata, and so he's very sensitive about special needs. And a few years ago, even before you know we knew anything about the club that you have and the special needs ministry, Pastor Jared phoned him and says, you know, we've got a problem. One of the your son, who's autistic, you know, tackled another boy in a classroom, and of course, the boy he tackled was the pastor's son,
right.
You know, a little guy. And so And so Pastor James called up the parents, and the first the parents tell the story afterwards. First thought in the parents' mind is, okay, here's another church that's going to tell us that, you know, they want us, they want our son to leave. But instead, he was blown away because Pastor James says, you know, here's what happened. You know, your son tackled you know, a child in the classroom. He didn't tell him it was the pastor's child because I'm sure he felt bad enough. But he says, you know, is there anything we can do to help your son? You know, can you tell us, you know, what are his issues and how we can help him better? And he says it's like his jaw dropped, and he just was not expecting that kind of response. Well, let's fast forward to today. This was, you know, a few years ago. Isaac, who is autistic, and I didn't even realize he was autistic because he's been doing so great. He's involved in the media ministry now. He works on the cameras. He is helping out in the classrooms. And so our church was able to, just by asking some questions, you know, what does your son need and how can we help him? And so sometimes, you know, you don't even need all of this. Just ask the right question, you know?
That's right.
And so... Well, we're getting down to the last 5 minutes of our show, and Craig, this is an amazing interview. This is probably the most inspiring interview I have done. Now, that's not to minimize all my other interviews, but I'm just excited about this because you're really onto something, and of course it isn't really you. You're just following what the Lord told you to do, being obedient. So I guess the Lord is really onto something here. So let me just ask, as the last question, what advice can you give parents or caregivers who are really struggling right now and feel like giving up? You know, how do they contact you? How do they find out if there's a Champions Club near them, and so on? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a couple things. One, don't give up. You may feel like, you know, today is very difficult, and you may have had a succession of days, but I would encourage you in a couple areas. One, like I said, you know, when you're going through difficult times, one of the best things is to help other people. The second thing is your devotional life. You know, that sustained me and my wife. We've learned to pray together more. We've learned to do things together. Rather than trying to do things apart and just trying to figure it out. Third thing is find a church, you know, look for a church in your area that might have something, even if they have something for special needs. Now, we have something that I created for parents, and it's called ConnorMoments.com. And ConnorMoments.com has... devotionals on it. It has blogs on it. It has daily declarations and scriptures to encourage parents and caregivers every day when they're going through stuff. It even has Connor saying the very video where he said, "This is my Bible for the first
really?
Time." It's on there. Yeah, when we taped it afterwards.
Wow.
The first time he said it in his room. But it was right after that. And so, and then it has our story on there. And so it'll be a great encouragement to you. Another thing that's just about to come out, it's probably going to come out in the next month, is we're launching a new website called championsclub.org. Championsclub.org. And on there, it's going to show you where all the Champions Clubs are. You're going to be able to download the curriculum, and we're even going to add a home piece of the curriculum where you'll be able to do it with your family at home as well. And so and they'll have a lot of different stories and testimonies and things that'll encourage you. But just keep on taking another step. Don't give up. God's got you in the palm of His hand. He has a great plan. And the thing I want to tell you is, this is not your lot in life. God has a purpose and a plan. He wants to do great things. And if God can do it for my son, He can do it for you.
Wow, that's great advice. One more time on that website. Go ahead.
It's ConnorMoments.com.
and Connor,
ConnorMoments.com, and then the new one that's coming is championsclub.org.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for joining us. It was an awesome time. I learned a lot, and I was poring over your website, and I even learned more. So thank you so much for coming and granting me this interview and coming to our church and helping be the catalyst to start our own Champions Club at our church. I'm excited to see what's going on. I know people are stepping up to the bat to volunteer and stuff, so that's great. And so, folks, we will see you again next week, and we will rebroadcast this. If you have someone who needs to hear this, just go to my website, davenass.com, that's N-A-S-S, and all of our recorded podcasts are there. Just look for the one that says Craig Johnson, and you can listen to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So thank you again for coming in. Craig, thank you. Everybody, thank you. We'll see you next Wednesday at noon, and we also rebroadcast this interview on Saturdays at 3:30 as well. That's all Pacific time. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.